I appreciate Brother Brian Young taking the class for me last week, and he did a good job. I listened to the lesson and put it up on the website, on our Sunday school page, and I appreciate him coming in and teaching the class for me. And I want to finish out the book of Jonah today. So today, being Sunday morning, August the 6th, 2023, we're going to take the second part of the book of Jonah. We're going to look at Jonah chapter 3 and 4 today. And the lesson is entitled today, The God of Second Opportunities. The God of Second Opportunity. I don't know what it may take to call some folks to be willing to follow the will of God for their lives. But I'll tell you this, I'm glad that God gives second chances. And third, and fourth. I think so many times, how many times I rode that Sunday school bus to church as a boy. And we had vacation Bible school. When we had vacation Bible school, we always had it during the day. That was a big thing back then. The buses would come by and we'd be there during the day and then we'd go back home in the afternoon. And it was during the summer months when we didn't have school and things like that. And we enjoyed it. But I can remember some of those preachers that came in and preached during the vacation Bible school time. And when they'd give the invitation, man, my heart was burning within me because I knew that I was not saved. Now, I'd been sprinkled in the Moravian church and baptized in another church and all this other stuff and was told to be a good boy and God would weigh my good deeds against my bad deeds and hopefully I'd done enough good that I could be able to go to heaven one day. But I knew down deep when I heard the Word of God was what made the difference. And when I heard the Word of God, I knew I wasn't saved. But I had told everybody that I was. And the devil threw up excuse after excuse after excuse in my life. And I thought, well, man, what are people going to say? If I go up there and get saved and let one of those teachers show me how to really get saved, what am I going to say to everybody? What are people going to say? They're going to think I'm a liar. You know, I told them I was saved already. They're going to think I was a liar. And the devil used that ploy for a long time. But it got down to the point I couldn't stand it anymore. And the conviction of God was so heavy upon my heart. And I never will forget, on a Friday afternoon, March the 28th, 1975, I came home from school that day and was just miserable. And I was kind of backwards and shy and just, I was afraid to talk to anybody about it. And I tried calling several Sunday school teachers, but couldn't get anybody to answer the phone, not thinking it was in the early afternoon and people were still at work. And I finally got in touch with my Sunday school teacher. And he answered the phone, scared me to death, answered the phone. And he said, hey, man, what's going on? And I was too afraid to tell him I needed to be saved. And I was just scared. And I said, well, I just wanted to tell you thank you for telling me about Jesus and being my Sunday school teacher. Okay, is that it? Yeah, that's it. And I hung up the phone and I thought, man, you big dummy. You could have asked him to help you, and I didn't do it. I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And in my chest of drawers, my brother and I shared a four-drawer chest of drawers. That's where I had my stuff. That was all I had. And he had two drawers, and I had two drawers in it. And I stuffed a little New Testament, a soul winner's New Testament, that they had given us at Bible school. And I went and I pulled that thing out. And I had difficulties reading. And still have difficulty reading. But I had difficulties reading, and I just had a heart just burdened about dying and not going to heaven. But I went and pulled out that little New Testament, and it started in the front, and it said, for those that need to know Christ as their Savior, turn to page such and such. And you'd turn to that page, you'd read the verse, and underneath it, it would explain what that verse was talking about. And I went through that whole thing. Never will forget it. Went through that whole thing. And got on my knees in my back bedroom, my mom and dad's back bedroom. And my brother and my sister were up watching cartoons and stuff on TV. And I thought, I've got to do this while there's nobody here. I've got to do this. And I asked the Lord to come in my heart and forgive me my sins, save my soul. And I got up, and I didn't feel any different at all. I mean, I didn't feel a thing. And I thought, man, I'd always heard people say, boy, you're going to see fireworks going off, and you're going to feel all this stuff, and it's going to be great. And I didn't feel a thing. And I thought, oh, Lord. First thing went through my mind, Oh, Lord, I must have sinned my day of grace away. I'm going to be left here, and man, the Lord's coming back, and I'm going to be left here. And I was scared to death. And so I went back through that again. I went through the whole little New Testament. As a matter of fact, I keep that little New Testament in my office in there. And I went back through it again, and I got back on my knees, and I asked the Lord again to forgive me my sin. I said, Lord, I don't know if I'm doing this right or not, but Lord, honestly, by faith, I'm trusting you to do what this Bible said you would do and come in my heart and save my soul. Lord, because I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want that. Lord, I really do want to be saved. And I got up off my knees and didn't feel anything again. And I thought, well, Lord, this little Bible says that it's by faith, and I'm going to trust you to do what you said you're going to do. And I went that evening. We went on out and did stuff outside and came back. And on Friday nights around our house, there were five of us all together. And everybody took a bath, whether you needed it or not. You took a bath, all right, on Friday night. And I never will forget that Friday night. And I was dirty. I'd been outside playing in the afternoon and just had dirt and everything all over. And the tub was just nasty. I mean, it was just nasty. And we always had to clean it for the next person to take the bath, okay? So I grabbed the toilet brush, and I was scrubbing the ring out of the... And watching that dirty water go down the drain. And it was like the Spirit of God just spoke to my heart and said, gone, gone, gone. That's what I've done with your sin. It'll always be gone. Now, you'll never see them again. And it was like, man, the joy of the Lord just filled my heart to watch that old nasty water go down the drain. And knowing that God had done what he said he'd do. And I said, Lord, now I'm not going to tell anybody I got saved. I'm not going to do that because, you know, I've already told everybody I was saved, so it won't really matter. This time I'll just be telling the truth. But man, it got down to the point I just had to go. And the next Saturday, I told my bus captain and his family. And I never will forget sitting in the living room, in their living room. And they started crying and they said, praise the Lord. And later on, about a year later, I became the bus captain on that Sunday school bus. Now, he drove the bus for me, but he left me out. And I didn't have a driver's license. And you know what they would do? They'd give me a handful of gospel tracts and bus flyers, and they'd drop me off on the corner, and I'd just go all through the neighborhood, just inviting boys and girls, moms and dads, let their kids come to church on Sunday, and just tell them. And when folks wanted to be saved, I didn't know what to tell them. So I carried that little New Testament in my pocket. And I just told them the same thing that I read in that little Bible. And it led a lot of people to Christ. And you know what? God used that. And he did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And I got to thinking about all those things. I know I've taken a lot of your time this morning from a lesson. But I thought about that this morning as I was thinking about this story about Jonah. Jonah, I believe, was a saved man. He knew God. He was a prophet of God. We read about that over in the book of 2 Kings, and we read about how that God used him. He called him to do something. But this lesson today talks about the God of second opportunity. It reminds us that God is a God of grace and mercy and love. And I want you to see some things today. John wrote this. He said in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 3, John said... Excuse me. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You know what? It is not a burden to do what God said do. Now, sometimes we want to make it seem like it is. I never will forget, before I got saved, I had been sprinkled. I'd already been baptized, but I wasn't saved. And folks, listen to me. I was still lost. But when I got saved, I knew that my mom and dad would be probably upset. So I kept it quiet and just kind of kept things quiet about it. And I knew I needed to get baptized after trusting Christ as my Savior, because that's what you do. Sort of like when you get married. You don't put the wedding band on and wear it before you get married. You make the vow. I made that vow to my wife. She made that vow to me. We were married. And then we sealed our marriage with a wedding band to remind us of our vows to one another. And to show everyone else around us, hey, listen, I belong to somebody. She belonged to somebody. And Baptism is that spiritual wedding band that we wear, we put on after we trust Christ as our Savior. Again, I've been sprinkled and baptized before I got saved. And I was 18 when God began to deal with my heart. I was 17, actually, when He began to deal with my heart about preaching His Word. And for a little over a year, I battled the Lord and said, "No, Lord, I can't do that. I've got plans." But God convinced me that I needed to follow His plan. And when I made it public on that Sunday morning, December the 24th, 1978, 3 years after I'd been saved. I got saved March the 28th, 1975. But 3 years after I got saved, I made it public that God had saved me and God was calling me to preach and I needed to be obedient to His calling. And that Sunday morning, I made the announcement there at church at the invitation time. And then Sunday night, I followed the Lord in believer's baptism because I wanted to be totally, completely obedient unto the Lord. And you know, we as Christians sometimes, we want to pick and choose what we do in our service for the Lord, don't we? Lord, I'm glad I'm saved. Lord, I'm glad that my sins have been washed away, but Lord, don't make me do something I really don't want to do. That was Jonah's situation. Pastor Young talked about that last week. But God got Jonah's attention, did He not? God got his attention. And even though he said, "Just throw me overboard and let me die," God said, no. "You're not going to get away with doing what I said do that easy." And God sent a great fish. Jesus said in the book of Matthew that it was a whale, all right? It wasn't a guppy, it wasn't a minnow, it was a whale. And God sent that whale by at just the right time. And God took old Jonah down in the depths of the sea and broke his heart, humbled him so that he was willing to do whatever God said do. And you know, disobedience is a sickening thing to God. And it was a sickening thing to that fish too, that great fish, that whale. It made that whale so sick he vomited Jonah up on the seashore. And Jonah went and did what God said do. And today I want you to see just how good God is to give second chances, second opportunities to be able to serve Him. Last Sunday, we saw how that Jonah knew the will of God for his life. I hope that you know the will of God for your life. Number one, to be saved. That's the number one thing. God's will is that none should perish. Not any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And folks, I want you to understand something. That all that God wants to be saved is the same all that Paul was talking about that said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that takes care of this Calvinistic way of teaching that people have today, that only a certain crowd is supposed to be saved and only a certain few are going to get to go to heaven. God is willing that none should perish. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But Jonah didn't realize that. Jonah was a Hebrew. He was a man of God. He was one of God's chosen people. And the people that were treating the Jews so badly at that time were the Ninevites. They were cruel. They were a wicked people. They had taken many of their people. They had killed the Hebrew children, the children of Israel. They had put them to death. They had done many bad things against them. They were considered to be heathen and paganistic. And Jonah despised them. And he didn't think that God was willing. God, sure, you don't need to save them. They don't deserve your salvation. But let me remind you something today. None of us deserve God's salvation today either. There's none that deserve the salvation of God. Not a one of us. But aren't you glad that God gives second opportunities? And this lesson, I want you to see here, beginning in verse number 3. I want to go back just a minute. When Jonah was chastened by God for his rebellion against God, and Jonah was inside the belly of that whale, I want you to look at Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 said, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. So while he's inside this whale, he's praying to God. Now, I can't imagine being inside a great fish's gut like that. I just can't imagine that. You got seaweed hanging off your head, and you got the stench of dead krill and everything else inside that fish's belly. And he's probably burping up stuff, and you're wallowing around in all that. And man, that's a mess. What a mess. But God put Jonah where he needed to be for God to change his mind and his heart about things. And so Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 said, Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly. And then after 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, we read in verse number 7 of chapter 2, how that Jonah declared unto God, he said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. And go down to verse number 10. The Bible said in verse number 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. I don't know which would be worse, being inside the belly of the whale or being vomited out on dry ground. And all that stuff's on you, and then you're walling around on the sand. You got sand everywhere. You got other stuff everywhere. And it had to be bad. But now we come to chapter number 3. Jonah chapter number 3. We see how that Jonah now preaches to the people. And after being convicted of his own sin, and after being shown God's calling upon his life, Jonah prayed. He confessed his sin unto the Lord. He got things right with God. And then God's tender compassion was extended to Jonah, and also to the people of Nineveh, that wicked people. And look what the Bible said in verses 1 through 3. We see Jonah's second call. The Bible said here, beginning in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. You know what? God was keeping a record. God keeps count. He knows all things. He knows how many times he's been patient with you and patient with me. He knows that. And you know what? I believe God does that because one day we're going to stand before him and give account unto him as his children. And perhaps he's going to look at us and say, I spoke to you 512 times about this. Why didn't you just obey? Why didn't you just obey? God spoke to Jonah, and the Bible said that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. What was he supposed to do? He was supposed to tell them what God said. It wasn't his own opinion, but it was what God said. And look what the Bible said now. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. I want you to see something here today. And this will thrill your heart. But because God is a holy God, and because God is a righteous God, you and I deserve punishment for our sin, our disobedience. Even as his children, we deserve that. But I want you to see also today that God is a God of love. He's a God of concern. And he is a God of second opportunities. And folks, I want you to understand today, second opportunities show us that God does indeed have a specific plan for our lives, and he wants us not only to know it, but he wants us to do it. Amen? He wants us to do it. Now, second opportunities show us some things, and it shows us that God is truly willing to use us if we will only be willing to trust him and obey him. You know what? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Samuel told Saul that. Obedience is better than sacrifice. For Jonah, this second call from God showed him. It showed Jonah that God was still willing to use him for a great purpose. And you know what I think about all the times that year that I said, Lord, I am not preaching your word. And God said, oh, yes, you are. And he just kept dealing my heart. And you know what it got down to? You know what turned my heart to be willing to do what God said do? It was the fact of knowing that if I failed, if I chose not to do what God said do, God had every right to just put me up on the shelf of do nothing and say, okay, then I'll use somebody else. And I won't bother you anymore about living or serving me. And I thought to myself, Lord, I don't want to be up on the shelf somewhere and you not use me. I've seen people like that. They've rejected Lord. And these folks are saved. And they're not doing anything now for God. Nothing. Why? Because they refuse to obey the Lord. And I didn't want to be that way. And you know what? God showed Jonah. He said, Jonah, I got something for you to do. And he said, I want you to go into that city. And I want you to see something here. God never changes his mind. When Jonah finally said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. What do you want me to do? Maybe he's thinking that God's going to change his mind and give him an easier job to do. No. Look at chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The Bible said there in chapter 1, when God came the first time to Jonah, the Bible said, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Boy, that was the message. That was the calling that God had given unto Jonah. And now, after Jonah had rejected that calling and said, throw me overboard, just let me die, God said, you're not getting away with that. I'll teach you. And he took a deep ocean ride, and God threw him up out of that fish's mouth on the seashore. And Jonah's probably laying there and said, oh, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And the Bible said here, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Same message, same calling, same job. And what was that? Arise, get up off your backside and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Folks, we need to be willing to obey the Lord today. Amen. Now, God is a gracious God, and he gives second opportunities. But I wonder, when does his patience run out? And we don't know that. We don't know when that patience runs out with us. But you know what? It didn't run out with Jonah. And I want you to note here, the second time, I want you to notice how the message spoken to God's man did not change. God's will for the people of Nineveh had not changed. What was his will? That none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, God's will for Jonah had not changed. God may have been dealing with your heart about doing something for God, maybe taking the soul winner's training classes and learning how to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can have an opportunity to be saved. And you say, well, Lord, that's the preacher's job. That's, you know, somebody else to do that, Lord. That's not for me. And the word of the Lord came unto you a second time and a third time and a fourth time. And how many times will he have to come to you before you bow before him? How many whale rides are you going to have to take before God convinces you that you need to do what he has saved you to do? Man, God's will for the people that needed to hear the gospel had not changed. God's will for Jonah had not changed. And God's will for you and me does not change. God has a purpose and a plan for each of us. Jonah had tried to run from God by heading in the opposite direction. More than 2,000 miles in the opposite direction, he tried to get away. And God sent a whale that took him right back, threw him up on the land, and said, now get out and go. And that's what Jonah did. Now look at this today. I want you to see, when Jonah arrives in Nineveh, and he begins to declare what thus saith the Lord, let's look at Jonah's preaching here in verse number 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, think about this just a moment. Jonah is walking into a city, and archaeology teaches the circumference of that city was some 60 miles or so. 3 days' journey for him to get around that wall and tell everybody. The watchman upon the wall is hearing them. The people are hearing the message. But they're also seeing this man. God didn't have him stop at Joseph A. Banks along the way and get a new suit and stop by the barbershop and get a hairdo done, okay? No. There have been historical accounts of people being swallowed by whales. And they have survived. And they talk about how the acids dyed their it bleached their skin white as snow, colored their hair. Some places the acids ate away the hair. Other places it bleached it white. And they said that these people looked like they had just, like death warmed over. And can you imagine Jonah looking like that and smelling like that? Okay? Fish vomit. Laid out with sand all over him. But he went immediately and did what God said do. The message was simple. The message was direct. But without a doubt, Jonah made God's message clear and plain for all the people to hear and to understand that judgment for sin was coming down from God. Now think about this just a moment. These pagan nations around Israel, they had seen what the God of Israel had done for the children of Israel. They had seen how that God parted the waters, protected them as they went through, put a cloud of nighttime on the side of the Egyptian army, put a cloud of light on the side where the children of Israel could go through that night, and get all the way through on dry ground through the Red Sea. And then as God lifted that cloud of protection, and the Egyptian army went through the waters, through the dry ground, to get to them, to destroy them, they knew how that God had brought those waters back down and destroyed the Egyptian army. They had seen the bodies on the seaside. They had seen how that God had protected them day and night, fed them in the wilderness, protected them against their own enemies. These people knew about the God of Israel. And now when this man comes in and he's telling them, I tried to run from God. I couldn't get away from God. And God has told me to come and tell you, you're going to die 40 days and your city's going to be overthrown. And they begin to listen. And his message was clear. It was simple. But I want you to look at verses 5 through 9. I want you to see the people's repentance. The people's repentance. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. And he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth. And he sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. For who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? You know what? The Apostle Paul asked a question. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, Paul asked this question. He said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Excuse me. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody needs to declare the word of God. The world knows. Romans chapter 1 talks about how they know God, but they have chosen to reject God. They have chosen to put him out of their minds and to worship the creation more than the Creator. Protect Mother Earth, but forget about God. These folks, when they heard the message proclaimed, they were convicted of their sin. And folks, I don't believe Jonah gave a three-point message with a poem and a tear-jerking story at the end of it. He just preached what God said preach, that judgment was coming. They knew that they had done wrong against God. They knew that Jonah was a Hebrew and that he was telling them what the God of the Hebrews had said. And the message that Jonah was called to proclaim, it was important to God. Why? Because God loved those people just like he loved the Hebrew people. And you know, all the things that God did with Pharaoh, all that God did with that, if you'll read those passages in Exodus, God's desire was that all of Egypt to know that he was the one true God. God wants everybody to be saved. The people had heard the word of God. Paul said again in chapter 10, verse 17, he said, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So thus saith the Lord, 40 days and judgment is coming. 40 days and judgment is going to take place. And folks, the message that needs to be declared today is not this stuff that you're hearing on a lot of these preachers preach about on TV about prosperity and all these other things, political correctness and you know, all this other mess that's going on. Your health and wealth and political prosperity. That's not what God is saying preach. God is saying, tell my people what thus saith the Lord, that judgment is coming. And that's why they've come out with all these Bibles now that have taken hell out. The devil doesn't want them to know that there is judgment coming for sin. But folks, judgment is coming for sin. And people need to know. People say, well, if God's a God of love, how can he send anybody to hell? God's never sent one person to hell except Satan. And you know what? A person that rejects God sentences themselves to eternal separation from God and death in hell. And God said, Jonah, I want you to tell him about my mercy. Look at verse number 10. Jonah chapter 3, verse number 10. When the king made his declaration and proclamation to the people, God looked to see what was happening. He heard the king's heart broken for his people. He saw the people turn from their wicked ways. And the Bible said, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. Now, I want you to understand something here today. Number one, I want you to understand this. It was not their works that saved them. But God saw the fruit of their heart. When I got saved, I played in the marching band. I played in the jazz band. I played in the concert band. And when I got saved, and I went to that first practice after I got saved, I knew that I could not do that stuff anymore. I couldn't do those dance moves and all that other stuff. Man, I couldn't do that and be a child of God. I couldn't do that. And so I stopped those things. Now, the preacher didn't tell me to do that. My Sunday school teacher didn't tell me to do that. But the Spirit of God said, you can't do that and let folks know that you're a Christian. You can't do it. So I turned from those things. I turned away from those things. And when I turned away from those things, then God did, thank you, ma'am, then God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And He gave me strength. And He gave me help to be willing to serve the Lord. Now listen to me, folks. These people, when they realized that there was an opportunity for them to be saved from the wrath to come, they turned from their wicked ways. They repented in their hearts. And the Bible said God saw proof of their repentance. You know what? When my children did wrong, and they said, oh, Daddy, 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 please don't whip me again. I won't do it anymore. And then they come right back and do it the next day. You know what? They just didn't want the punishment, did they? They weren't really repentant in their heart. But when they turned from that which they were doing, and they chose not to rebel or to lie or to disobey or cheat or whatever at school, when they chose not to do those, that was proof of the repentance that was in their heart. And you know what? These people proved to God that they were serious about turning away from their sin. And God saw their seriousness. And God saw that they were true and willing to turn away from that which they had done wrong. And God said, you know what? Then I will hold back my judgment upon them. The second thing I want you to understand is that God is not the God of evil. Satan brings consequences for sin. Sin brings forth death. You remember when Adam disobeyed God? And death came by his disobedience. Death and sorrow and sickness and all kinds of things have happened because man chose to disobey. And the grace of God holds back that punishment that we deserve. God holds it back. He said, now you deserve punishment for this. But God saw their works, that they meant what they said. And God said, you know what? I'm going to hold it back. Because they're serious about living for me. And folks, listen to me today. God wants to see in our hearts the proof. When we do wrong, when we realize that we're not doing what God said do, and we choose to go ahead and do what God said do, and God turns away from His wrath upon us as well. God wants us to serve Him. Now look what happened here. The Bible said that God turned and He repented of doing. He changed His mind and said, all right, you've done what I said do, then the judgment will not come. Is this not what He told the children of God also, the children of Israel? If you will serve me, if you will love me, if you will obey me, if you will keep my commandments, then you'll have the blessings of God. But if you do not do those things, judgment is coming. God saw their hearts were true. God saw their works, and they turned away from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He said He would do unto them, and He did it not. Now we begin chapter 4. And when we get to chapter number 4 here, good grief, my time is gone. I want you to see something here. I want you to see how that Jonah got upset with God over God's mercy to these wicked pagan people. And if you'll come back next Sunday, I'll tell you the rest of the story, okay? Listen, I want you to understand something this week. God is a God of mercy. But God is a God of judgment. And folks, if we choose to disobey God, if we choose to rebel against His will in our lives, you're going to expect to receive judgment for that. You're going to expect to receive chastisement for that. And I don't want anybody in this class to ever have to be chastened by God. Choose to serve Him today. Do what He said to do. Be willing to obey Him the first time, even though He is the God of second opportunities. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father, I do love You today. And I thank You, God, so much for Your mercy and Your goodness. And I pray, God, today, Lord, that You would help us, Lord, as born-again children of God, to be willing to obey You the first time. Lord, we're not always guaranteed of receiving a second opportunity to serve You or to answer the call that You called us to do something. So, Lord, help us today to number our days. Lord, help us, God, to choose to obey rather than sacrifice. Lord, help us today to choose to do what You've saved us to do while there's time to do it, while we have the strength to do it. And Lord, if there be someone today listening to the sound of my voice that is not yet saved, they do not know You as their Savior, God, I pray, Lord, You'd convict them of their sin and help them to see their need of a Savior. And they would come to You today and ask for forgiveness and ask for Your eternal gift of salvation and be saved. Help us now, Lord. Bless our pastor as he stands to preach. And we'll thank You, Lord, for what You do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. We love You today. Thank you for being in Sunday school class.